So friends, usually when this gospel reading on forgiveness comes up, I kind of preach this standard homily on kind of what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. And I will tell you that most people don't really listen to my homilies and they forget them like a week later. But that homily, for some reason, a number of people over the years have said has helped them a lot and meant a lot to them. The problem is I didn't want to give that homily this weekend, and so kind of bored with it. But it has helped me and a lot of people, and so we are going to post it, my old homily, on the website and social media and stuff this week, if you haven't heard that, just about how forgiveness is not forgetting, it's not condoning, it's not reconciliation, it's not a one-time event. The reason I give that homily is this is a hard enough teaching of Jesus. We don't need to throw extra burdens on of setting a standard that Jesus himself didn't even set in terms of what it looks like to forgive those who have hurt us. So I'll post that, but I don't want to preach on it today because I was really drawn to preach on some really cool, like, biblical, historical, cultural connections from the readings this week. And so that's what I want to share with you. The first is that our first reading gives us wisdom on forgiveness from Jesus, and our gospel gives us wisdom on forgiveness from Jesus. What do I mean by that? Well, the scribe that's responsible for the book of Sirach, one of the later Old Testament books, the scribe that is responsible for that book, his name is Jesus, son of Sirach. Or Yeshua, son of Sirach. Right? And of course, in the gospel, we get Yeshua, Jesus Christ, giving us his wisdom. Right. So we have Jesus in the first reading, responsible for this wisdom on forgiveness, and we have Jesus in the gospel. And I wanted to point that connection out just because to kind of hone in on the continuity of the Old and New Testaments. You know, sometimes the Old Testament gets this bad rap. You know, it's the Old Testament God versus the New Testament God. But Jesus certainly didn't see it that way, right? He said he was the fulfillment of the law, which sometimes meant that he updated or deepened or the law evolved, because God treats us as children in the sense that he teaches us progressively, and so it was a provisional teaching, you might say, in the Old Testament. So in some areas, Jesus goes beyond what was given in the Old Testament. Sometimes he deepens it, he expands it, but we certainly can't see a complete dichotomy between the Old and the New Testament. And Sirach's teaching, Yeshua's teaching, on forgiveness and mercy in the first reading beautifully parallels what Jesus will eventually reveal in the gospel. So I wanted to highlight that connection of that book that we don't hear from very often, the book of Sirach. The second thing I wanted to talk about was the number that's discussed in the gospel, right? The NAB, the translation we use for Mass, translates it 77 times, right? They say, how many times do we have to forgive? Seven times, and Jesus says, no. And the NAB translates it 77 times. Another way to translate that, same word, is 70 times seven, right? And actually, it's a really cool thing in our, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but in our daily Mass chapel, crucifixion chapel, on the stained glass window of the confessional, the reconciliation room, that number is engraved in our confessional here. So check that out if you want to sometime. But I, for the sake of this homily, I want to suggest that the number 70 times 7 opens up a whole array of other interpretations in the Bible. So I prefer it to be translated 70 times 7. And here's why. There's in the book of Daniel, and then in a couple of the texts that we have from Qumran, this is where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in the mid-20th century, some texts from around the time of Jesus, right? And in both the book of Daniel in the Old Testament and these Dead Sea Scrolls, the number 490 has a big significance. And here was the significance. I don't know if you remember in the Old Testament, there is what's called the Jubilee year. So after seven cycles of 7 years, so after 49 years, there's a Jubilee year, the 50th year. And in that year, two really cool things happened. All of your monetary debt was forgiven. Okay? And any indentured slaves that were being held were released. So in the 50th year, your monetary debt was forgiven. I could go for that, you know. Like you just run up your credit cards, right? Right in the 49th year, you know. Monetary debt forgiven, and any indentured slaves were released from their bondage. There was a sense in the book of Daniel and in these Dead Sea Scroll texts that after 10 cycles of would come a Messiah after 490 years who would not relieve monetary debt, but would bring about the remission of spiritual debt. In other words, he would cancel out the debt of sin. And he wouldn't release us from indentured servitude from a material standpoint, but he would release us from the bondage of spiritual slavery. So we see this kind of prophecy in the book of Daniel and Quran, that there was this expectation that a Messiah would come at the end of these Jubilee cycles, 490 years, who would release us from the spiritual debt of sin and the spiritual bondage of sin and slavery. And so I think when Jesus says, possibly, when he says 70 times 7, which gets you at 490, he's invoking not just the perfect number 7. You probably know the Bible has a sense of 7 being like the complete number, right? So in a certain sense, Jesus is saying, like, you just have to forgive to infinity and beyond. You know, it's like you just have to keep forgiving, right? There's a sense of that in the number. But there may also be a sense, if he's invoking 70 times 7, 490, there may be a sense that he has come in the person of the Messiah to remit not just monetary debt, but spiritual debt of sin, and also release us from spiritual slavery. The third little connection is just the numbers of the amount of the forgiveness of the loans in the gospel. So the NAB just translates it, big amount, large amount, the king forgave the first servant of, and small amount that the servant forgave the other servant of. In Greek, the first amount is 10,000 talents. And according to one biblical scholar I was reading who did all the conversion from the ancient world to the modern U.S. economy, he argued that that would be equivalent today to $8.6 billion. And then the second text, the smaller amount, it's 100 denarii. And he did the same conversion. And he said today that would be equivalent to about $8,000. So $8.6 billion and $8,000. And of course, this is meant to show us the great hypocrisy of our lack of forgiveness for petty little $8,000 hurts versus God forgiving us for an $8.6 billion offense. Right? That's kind of the thrust of the gospel. It's like, I have forgiven you in Jesus Christ and in his Paschal mystery. I have forgiven you the huge debt of sin against an infinite God, right, which can never be repaid. I've forgiven you $8.6 billion, and you can't turn around and forgive someone else that owes you $8,000? It's meant to show the hypocrisy of the fact that God forgives us in Christ, and we sometimes, often, fail to turn around and forgive those who have offended us far less than we have offended God. So friends, I just wanted to draw out some of those connections with it. I just think this passage is loaded with some interesting stuff. And so just kind of the idea that Jesus in the scribe, Yeshua, in the book of Sirach gives us wisdom, Yeshua in the gospel gives us this wisdom, shows the continuity of the Old and New Testament on this question of mercy and forgiveness. The idea of that maybe that significance of that number, 70 times 7, may have had more than just a sense of completion in the amount of times we have to forgive, but may have had sort of under the radar been a bit of a prophecy of what Jesus does in him coming to earth and dying and rising for us. And then finally, just the amount of the numbers that were forgiven in the gospel show us often our hypocrisy on the question of forgiveness. So friends, the great challenge of this reading, which I don't know, I shake in my boots every time I hear those last lines of the gospel and every time I say the Our Father, right? As we forgive the trespasses of others, how's it go? How's the Our Father go? You know, you say these things a million times. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against others. You should be a priest, Ron. Sorry, Carolyn, but forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's a scary standard at the end of the gospel today. That's God's going to hold us responsible for forgiving others to the degree that he has forgiven us in Christ. And so let's seek to grow in our ability to forgive and show mercy to others, just as God has done first for us.